Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is the third Sunday in Advent. It is the Sunday where we light the candle of joy, which is the pink candle. The text today comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians. It is thought to be, by most scholars, the oldest book in the New Testament. It is one of Paul's letters. It is thought to be his very first letter that we have. It is written about 25 years after the death and life and resurrection of Jesus. I want to read to you the text today, and I ask, it's not very long. I could not choose between two interpretations. I'm going to let you hear them both. From the Inclusive Bible. Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks for everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise the prophetic gift. But test everything and accept only what is good. Avoid any semblance of evil. May the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May you be preserved whole and complete, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. The one who calls us is trustworthy. God will make sure it comes to pass. From the New Revised Standard Version, more familiar. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The words are familiar at the beginning. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, as he did in many of his letters, about how one should live in light of the imminent expectation of Christ's return. The advent of Christ. Now, we all know that for centuries there has been predictions and will continue to be predictions about the second coming of Christ. Pastor Camping alone has set three dates this year for Jesus' return. Poor Pastor Camping, he has to go to his bunker every single time that he says Jesus is coming back. I would think he'd want to be out front waiting for him. The assumption is that God's sensibilities in this matter of Christ's return, are matched to human expectation. Humans continually keep trying to find a formula, a magic way of predicting when the advent of Christ will be. And what Paul wants for the people of Thessalonica is nothing less than salvation. This is important stuff for him. He is writing because he wants for them to be saved, and he wants to give them a formula for the good life on how to lead a life that pleases God. Paul is teaching them how to live in the in-between time between Christ's first advent and Christ's second advent. That time that's in between is the time in which we all live, isn't it? Regardless of what you believe, we are in an in-between time. And the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters, is that the in-between time is often hard times. Today is the third Sunday in Advent. It is the Sunday of joy, or rejoice. Gaudete. Pastor Carey tells me that it is a command, an imperative. Rejoice. Do it. Paul's instruction to rejoice always is not a suggestion, really. It's not a suggestion of moderation. Paul didn't suggest anything in moderation. But he is suggesting and asking for a complete and thorough devotion to rejoicing always. And at the foundation of Paul's understanding of the good life is rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, which he has told us many times. And one of the hardest things, to give thanks in all circumstances. And one of the reasons that he was really imperative about this is because he came from a Hellenistic culture where wholeness and completeness were very, very important. They were things to be strove for. You were supposed to strive for perfection. It was part of what you were to do with a holy life. Now, Pastor Carey and I know, and if Jeff Hirota gets to do this one day and chooses to do this one day, you are asked when you are ordained, one of John Wesley's ordination questions, are you going on to perfection in this life? And each one of us has to prepare to answer that question. It's a hard question to answer. But the late Bishop Melvin Wheatley, I am told, asked, if you're not going on to perfection, where are you going? That's a good question. What Paul was suggesting is actually not an unrealistic possibility, but an unrestrained action with the whole of our being. Rejoice always. Now, I am reticent as a pastor to say to you and to people who come to talk to me and people who come through my life that they should rejoice always. It sounds like a platitude. Oh, no matter what, rejoice always. This week alone, I struggled with personal stuff and family things and watching the news. And I worried about Leanna House at Virginia Tech and Michael's sister who teaches there. And I turn on the news and I'm just thinking, how do I write a sermon that says rejoice always? How do we rejoice always in the midst of the strife that is our human life? The command sounds like it has a sense of unbroken time, doesn't it? If you do it, you will do it every moment. I was thinking about it in another way, though. Rejoice always. Every way that you live, everything that you do, make it an act of rejoicing. To be open to rejoicing always and to be rejoicing always is what we are called to. And if we do this, then we're not offering God little doses of measured joy, but unreserved, abandoned self-giving. And Paul tells us that when we're doing this, the Spirit is always with us and present. And we are not to quench the Spirit. We are not to stifle the Spirit. I think what he's saying is when we begin to look at the glass half empty, when we tell ourselves that it can't get better, when we don't feel the presence of God, we don't allow God into those moments of darkness, we stifle what the Spirit has to do for us. Joy is not just about our response, brothers and sisters, and this is always the good thing. Joy is about God and God's presence. Thomas Aquinas said, sheer joy is God's, and this demands companionship. Is that a beautiful image? God demands that we be joyful with God, that God is sheer joy and wants companionship there in that place, an invitation from our joyful God. It seems true somehow that joy doesn't happen when we get what we want. It sounds counterintuitive. It seems like it would be just the opposite, but it really isn't. It's when we are in the wilderness and we experience that empty-handed, I surrender all kind of experience, that joy is most likely to occur. Have you experienced it that way? Have any of you experienced it that way? In the wilderness? In the most unexpected of moments, I have many, many times. And that is how we know that God is present. Because despite all the circumstances around you, you experience God and know that no one else knows how to make life out of death like God does. N.T. Wright is a theologian, and when he was ordained, he received many cards from people, and he received one, and all it said was, in Greek, and you will bear with me, pistos ho kalon, the one who calls is faithful. It's the only card he remembered. Paul says the one who calls us is trustworthy, faithful, and will surely help all that we need come to pass. We are in the season of darkness and light, waiting for the advent of our Christ once again. Such a sacred time in our lives. Because right now we live in the moment where Christ has been, where Christ is present, and where Christ will come again. It is in that beautiful paradox that we live in this sacred time. The season of Advent is a time where we wait for that light. I like the image I read this week, is that during Advent, we know that God comes and turns on all the lights. As people of faith, we are to struggle with what it means to be joyful, thankful, and prayerful in all times and circumstances. And we are also called to remember that joy has never had much to do with what is happening in the world or in our lives, and that joy is different from happiness or pleasure or fun. To embrace and experience joy, we have to ask the question, can the pursuit of happiness actually cut off our experience of joy? I think Christmas is a time when we are in tension. Certainly our children are in tension, and we are in tension between what happiness is and what joy is. But as we close, I would ask you for you to remember a time of joy, a time of joy in your life. One of those times that Annie Dillard calls a God-paralyzed moment. Can you think of one? Can you think of one time in your life when you experienced joy? In the coming days and in all the days of your life, if darkness comes upon you, remember that moment. Reuse it. Regift it to yourself. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. And Paul will leave us with his prayer for our church. May the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May you be preserved whole and complete, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who calls us is trustworthy. God will make sure it comes to pass. Pistos ho kolon. Amen.